The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Everybody, Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about, well, what do we talk about? Say it with me. Fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. That's for sure. Well, now, how's everybody doing this morning? No guest in either hour this morning, so I'm going to try and muddle my way through for 2 hours like I do when there's no guest. And we hope you can join us with your phone calls. And, of course, my job is to toss out a provocative subject so that you folks can listen and respond. Or if you have something on your plate that you want to talk about, I'll be more than glad to talk about that, too. So it could be anything at all, anything at all. Could be a fish you caught. We got a nice photo from Andy from Catonsville. Caught a 90-pound drum. The chop tank this past week with a peeler crab, and shared that photo with us. That was a pretty impressive second one in the last 2 weeks or so down there at the mouth of the chop tank, and maybe Andy will give us a call later on. We had we spent yesterday and last evening in St. Mary's County. There's a little show down there called the Country Life Festival. And it has to do a lot with agriculture and the country lifestyle. Hunting's a big part of that. And we had met a number of old familiar folks down there that we've seen before, and met a few new people too. I'm down there with the Maryland Hunting Coalition. Of course, I'm giving away magazines, I'm giving away the Hunting Quarterly magazine, and Maryland Loves Crabs, as we have done for the last number of years in Southern Maryland during that show. And you know, my buddy Dale from Easton always told me that it was a great way to end a fishing trip by catching a fish and then just hanging it up for the day. You know, your last cast resulted in the last fish of the day, and you leave happy. You know, you landed a fish and everything was good. Well, the last fish of the day wasn't so happy yesterday. Right before 8 o'clock when the show wrapped up, I'm getting ready to leave a long trek home to Baltimore County from St. Mary's County. About 100 miles, something like that, maybe a little more. I see a man and a woman both in camo hats, and they're waiting at the booth for me. I'd been chatting with our friends from Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry and a couple other folks, and walked up the line, and they're pointing at me. That's the guy right there. So I walked up to the booth, and I said, "Hey, how you doing? Are you the group that was responsible for getting that March season repealed in St. Mary's and Charles County?" "Yes, sir. We were responsible for having that 90-day antlerless deer season repealed. That bill that opened that season up. We were we were partly responsible for that." "Why'd you do that to hunters?" "Uh-oh. I don't know what you mean, sir. Why'd you do that? Why did you do that to hunters?" And I said, "Well, bad bill." I said, shooting bucks with no antlers and does that were, you know, late-term pregnancies and, you know, and on it went. Well, what made this guy angry, from what I understand, and he wouldn't have a reasonable conversation, I had to try and explain the policy and fiscal note to the to the guy that, you know, that the hunter's license money was being used in that legislation to train farmers in Charles and St. Mary's County to shoot deer with rifles, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I tried to explain to them that, you know, that those does were, you know, late term. And if you shot an antlerless deer, you were typically killing, you know, one doe and two fawns. And I said to them that, you know, you were shooting bucks that have already dropped their antlers. And prior in the evening, as a matter of fact, I had a conversation with a fellow down there that practices good deer management. And he takes his does, you know, when he's supposed to. And he's got tremendous genetics in his area. He's taken two really, really nice bucks. As a matter of fact, one of them was on our cover in our spring issue, 180-inch whitetail that he shot with a bow. He showed me the video of it. And he had one at the trophy deer contest, which is in the same room, that probably was in the 160 class. Beautiful, heavy antlered buck with a drop tine. You know, deer that this guy watches. He sees them at 2, 3, 4 years old, and he just waits till they're 5.5, 6.5 years old before he takes them. And, you know, it's very exciting to him to watch that deer mature and have pictures of it and videotape it and that type of thing. And, you know, that's his deal. He doesn't shoot just any 6-point or 8-point or whatever it might be. He's focused on one deer, and if that's the one he wants, then, you know, God bless him. That's his pursuit. So, and he was talking about, found one of his button bucks that had been gut shot in St. Mary's County, you know, in March. He'd been watching this deer, it was good size and had great potential, and somebody shot it and ran across the property line and died on his property. And he said, you know, been shot in that late season. And, you know, I commiserated with him a little bit. So, you know, when he said his button bucks, of course, he's talking about knowing that this was a deer he had seen before. This was not owned by him. I mean, deer are not owned by anybody, and they're owned by everybody. Public trust doctrine says that the deer belong to the citizens of Maryland. So anyway, back to this irate guy. Long story short, he had read on an internet forum that the Maryland Hunting Coalition had called their fellow hunters baby killers by somebody that had posted something online in a website forum. And we shouldn't have done that. And I said, sir, I can assure you that nobody in this organization feels like that or has ever uttered those words. Well, you shouldn't have called your fellow hunters baby killers. I said, sir, you saw that on an internet forum. Yeah, and you shouldn't have said it. Now, here's a typical case of somebody who goes to the horse's mouth to get the truth and didn't believe what the horse told him. Folks, you've listened to me on the air here for 27 years. You've heard me talk about the Southern Maryland St. Mary's and Charles County bill, Senate bill, I think it was 68, if I remember the number right. I've explained the bill, what it did, gave farmers the legal authority to take deer on crop damage permits with their shotguns, authorized the Department of Natural Resources, actually compelled them to spend hunting licensed dollars to train farmers in St. Mary's and Charles County to shoot deer with a rifle at the expense of, you know, a tough budget anyway. It restricted farmers from shooting deer on crop damage permits on Sundays, which was a victory for the Maryland Horse Council, who pushed the legislation. And then it opened up deer season from January 1st of 2014 to March 27th or 29th, whatever the last Sunday was in March, or Saturday maybe, of 2014. And what was unspecified when it gave DNR the authority to set that season was the days and the bag limits. Well, the bag limit was the normal, you know, antlerless deer limit for shotgun of 10 in those two counties, and they opened the season 7 days a week from the 1st of January till the end of March, basically. Well, the reason the bill was to be repealed, the bill was introduced by Joan Carter Conway, who's the chair of the Senate committee that hears the hunting bills, environmental whatever committee. And why would an African American woman from the city of Baltimore introduce legislation to repeal a bill that affected farmers and hunters in the two southern counties? Well, it's because of her relationship with the lobbyist for the Maryland Horse Council, Frank Boston III, who I guess requested that she submit that legislation. Maryland Hunting Coalition testified for its own reasons to have that season suspended, to repeal that bill. And also, we led the compromise between the farm community, the Department of Natural Resources, and the General Assembly. We led the compromise to have that bill repealed. And the only thing that farmers gained from that was the authority to use rifles to harvest deer on crop damage permits or deer management permits. And that was, that stopped the season in its tracks. That allowed the farmers to go back to taking deer on crop damage permits on Sundays, which they had always done. And it took away the financial obligation of the Department of Natural Resources to train farmers to shoot rifles and spend, I think over the three-year period, it was something like $200,000 or something in that ballpark, $150,000, $200,000 of license money, money that we can ill afford to spend on programs like that, that would probably put some other program in jeopardy that has to do with actual wildlife management. So we felt that that was a victory, reaching that compromise with the Farm Bureau and Department of Natural Resources. And apparently this one disgruntled guy was unhappy with us. And so he wanted a confrontation. He wanted to be angry. He got his confrontation. He became angry. And, you know, I just responded to him like I'm responding to you right now. I didn't get angry. I certainly defended our position and explained to him why we did what we did. But he left angry, believing that someone in the Maryland Hunting Coalition called its fellow hunters baby killers. And that's how I ended my evening. So I had a nice almost two-hour drive home stewing about what this guy said. Because someone online chose their own words and put it out there as representing the Maryland Hunting Coalition. This guy believed that online anonymous post. Of course, it wasn't anonymous because he had a handle. And he told me the handle, you know. So apparently this person online said what he said, and that was it. Your thoughts, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number outside the local Baltimore dialing area. 1-800-WCBM-680, 1-800-922-6680. That's our phone number. I wouldn't mind hearing your comments. But for those of you who've listened, and for those of you who are familiar with the coalition, and for those of you who know my nature, have you ever heard me utter the words baby killers regarding my fellow hunters? No, you have not. Hey, feed your dog what dogs used to feed themselves. That's Merrick Backcountry, the ancestral diet with grain-free, high-protein kibble and chunks of real freeze-dried raw meat. Maisie, my lab, loves it, by the way. Switching her over to Merrick right now. Starting out with a mix of 25% Then I'm going to, well, I'm in the 50% mix now, and she is just chewing it up. She loves it. Backcountry is made in the USA for dogs who love exploring it. Merrick Backcountry, they love the wild as much as you do. Hey, for great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, head to Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle, Pasadena. Hey, there's only a few days left. That's right. Labor Day ends it all. That's September 7th. That's the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You go fish and anyone can win. You like fishing in Maryland? Of course you do. You like winning prizes like cash, a boat, or equipment? Of course you do. No strings attached. It's very simple. You just fish to win. 67 species in Maryland from Garrett County to Ocean City. Win cash and prizes for fishing in Maryland. That's right. $25,000 is guaranteed in cash prizes, including $6,000 in each of the three regions across Maryland. Non-title, Chesapeake Bay and Atlantic, Master Angler. All you got to do is catch an award-sized fish in each region. You're automatically entered to win $2,000 in cash. There's $5,000 in random cash drawings at the Maryland Fishing Challenge finale event. Catch and keep invasive species of any size, and you can qualify for a prize drawing. It's all happening now through Labor Day. Get out there and go fishing. You can get the information from your booklet that came with your fishing license, or www.dnr.maryland.gov/fisheries. You'll find it. Now go fish. This is Alan Ellis for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, spray-on bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners, with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer, blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie's new location is 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, drive home with me, Sean Hannity, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6, here on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I'll tell you what, I dig that air banjo. Yeah, man, that's for sure. You remember where that was from, ladies and gentlemen? If you've never heard that little dueling banjos ditty, that was another one of my favorite movies, ranking almost right up there with Jeremiah Johnson, and that was Burt Reynolds and John Voight and what was that other guy's name? Ronnie. Anyway, yeah, good movie. What was it called? Ned Beatty. Yeah. Squeal like a pig, boy. Can you squeal just like a pig? And what was that? What was the movie called? Come on, Brian. What? Deliverance. That's the name. Yes, Deliverance. Yeah. I'll tell you what. You caught that, too. When I was... Yeah, we're not repeating that one. I was a kid, teenager, 14, 15 years old, we used to go down to a little town in West Virginia, and I'm not going to name the town, but you drive the back roads down there along the North Branch of Potomac, and you see places like that. You see the really, really tar paper shacks with, you know, four, five, six kids standing outside, you know, naked or in diapers and, you know, rough country in certain parts of that state, that's for sure. Worked in West Virginia for a while. Yep, tough place. I don't know that West Virginia was where the movie was supposed to be actually filmed, though, was it? I think it was Georgia. Yeah, I think it was. So, but I'll tell you, rough. All right, no comments. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Down at the Country Life Festival trying to raise a few bucks for the Maryland Hunting Coalition. We've got a little lottery going on. We haven't even put it online. It's so new. We just got the tickets on Thursday and haven't even launched it online, but it's a Deer Hunter's Raffle. We've got a Model 220 Savage bolt-action shotgun that's 20-gauge, and that's a nice one. It's got a nice scope rail on the top that was added, but we don't have any optics on it yet. Then we have a 25-06 camo, Mossio camo, 25-06 bolt-action Marlin rifle that my grandson donated. And we have a Martin Krypton bow, which is a very adjustable bow. It works for a kid or a lady if they like. The draw length is adjustable from 17 to 30 inches. The draw weight is adjustable from 15 to 50 pounds. So it's one of those bows that you can keep shooting and grow into as your draw length increases and your poundage increases. And you can shoot that bow. It's a really nice bow. So we're down there if anybody decides to show up. You'll find us in the right beside the Trophy Deer Contest. Some nice-looking bucks coming in, too, for the Maryland Trophy Deer Contest. Oh, one more time. Ah, yes, indeed. That's Sheets Coffee, by the way. They had it on special at Sheets, and I really enjoy that. 410-922-6680. Hello, hello. Are we on the air? You're welcome to call. Express your opinion on anything that you would like to comment on. Got a nice email from our buddy Captain Don down in Pasadena. And he's been catching white perch and catfish in the river down there and having a good time down the Patapsco. A couple of real nice channel catfish, 2, 4, 6, 8. Looks like about 10 of them on the back of the truck there, up to 27 inches. And so he's been doing well. And I mentioned Merrick Backcountry that is starting to switch Maisie over to that and took a recommendation from the manager of the pet shop. He said, start at 25%, you know, a 3-to-1, what you're feeding now, 3-to-1 mixture, then go to 1-to-1, and then switch over to 75% to 3-to-1 mixture the other way, with the Merrick being the majority. And then I'm feeding her good stuff. I mean, I'm feeding her solid gold food right now. But she just chows down that Merrick, that's for sure. I mean, you know, it's good-looking stuff, no question. Oh, mercy. All right, there's Ken in Woodbury. Wants to talk about the crossbow. Let's talk to Ken. Good morning, Ken. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Bob?
You tell me. You called.
I was in Wally Mart the other day and got me a new crossbow magazine. And when I opened it up, the first thing on the first page was a crossbow, like an air gun that shoots the crossbow bolts.
Uh-huh.
And Air Guns of Arizona is offering this thing. I was wondering if something like that is going to be legal in Maryland or not.
It's a compressed air.
Yeah, yep. And it shows pictures of people with big game with it or whatever. They claim they've killed with this thing already.
Well, you know what? There's always somebody coming out with another gimmick. And I don't know. I have no idea. This is the first I'm hearing about it. And
it's not cheap. It's like $1,000 or $2,000. So
yeah,
cheap.
You know, if I'm going to spend that kind of money, honestly, I'm going to take a look around at conventional crossbows, and I'm going to take a look around and you know, if that's in my budget, if that's where I'm at, $1,000 or so with a crossbow. There's a lot of crossbows out there that you can buy for $1,000 that are extremely accurate. You can buy a whole package, you know, with the scope and the case and the whole deal for that kind of money. And you know, I've been shooting the same crossbow that I bought in 2000. So it's 15 years old, but it performs, you know, I killed a nice 8-point with it last year. It performs admirably, just as well as it did from the day I got it, but you got to maintain them. I mean, you got to, you know, every now and then put a new string on them and make sure your string is waxed and make sure your serving is waxed and make sure your rail is lubed every couple of shots, and you can maintain a crossbow for a long, long time. So I think back then that package was around $800 back then in 2000, but it was the top of the line at the time, made by a company called Ten Point. And it's it has what's called an AccuDraw.
Yeah, I had one of those.
Yeah, and I will tell you what, if you maintain it and, you know, practice with it and just make sure you know where it's shooting every single year, every single time, I mean, you can shoot a real tight group and shoot right through any critter in Maryland and any, you know, there have been black bears in Maryland taken with crossbows as well. So, yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, compressed air, I have seen, I think Parker makes one. Parker makes one that uses compressed air to help draw the bow. And that worked out very well for a friend of a friend. Guy's passed away now, but he credits that bow for actually getting him back into archery. And he took a really nice 6-point buck with that. I think that was his last deer. But he said, you know, he missed it. He had, I don't know, some surgery or some disability that prevented him from hunting, and he couldn't draw a crossbow, and he couldn't afford the AccuDraw, the 10-point model. So he wound up getting this Parker bow, and he really reveled in the fact that the compressed air helped him draw that, you know, draw and load that bow. It was able to pull the string back where he could, you know, cock it. That's the word I'm looking for, and put it in his, put the arrow on the string and operate like that. But as far as the propulsion from compressed air, I mean, been using it for years in BB guns and stuff, and somebody got a bright idea, I guess. I don't know. I don't know.
You have to look it up. Like I say, you can look it up at Crossbows of Arizona selling the thing. It's imported. I forgot what country it's made in, but
yeah.
It does look pretty decent.
Yeah. Well, crossbows probably the oldest, one of the oldest, you know, mechanical archery weapons out there that goes back hundreds and hundreds of years. And, they've been working just fine for a long, long time. So I don't know. I'm not dissing it by any means. I just don't know. You know, do you need the extra heartburn in the woods? That's the question.
I'm just wondering. wondered if it's going to be legal in Maryland or not.
Well, I don't know the answer. I mean, I really don't. I mean, this is the first I've heard about it. So, I mean, are you really seriously considering getting one of these? Semi-serious?
Maybe.
Yeah, okay.
Like I say, the price is just, it's just really, the price is just through
the
roof.
Well, I mean, for half of that, for if you have strength enough to cock a bow or use one of those cocking aids that, you know, reduces the pressure by, you know, 50%, if you can use one of those to pull the string back, you know, I've done both. I mean, I used to have a couple crossbows, but you use one of those cocking tools that, you know, reduces the pushback on the limbs to pull it back. You know, you can get away with a crossbow for less than half of that, and a very, very capable weapon is, I mean, you know, capable tool. So I don't know, your call. If you buy one, let me know how it works.
All right, definitely.
All right, man. Thanks, Ken.
Have a nice day.
You do the same. Bye bye. There he goes. Tuesday, September 1, that's the kickoff for the Maryland hunting season. We've got dove season opening up at noon. Dove limit is 15. We've got the early goose season opening up also on September 1st. And we're looking at taking in a goose hunt or maybe a dove hunt here in the first week or so. And then archery season opens on September 11th. People say, well, why did it open on the 5th last year, and why is it open on the 11th this year? It's always the Friday after Labor Day. That's the swing date. And Labor Day, of course, is the 7th this year. It's very late. It's as late as it can get on the calendar. It's the latest Labor Day we've had in many years. And the archery season will follow that on that following Friday, which happens to be September 11th this year. So I plan on being in the woods on September 11th, and not sure if I'm going to be hunting my lease in Montgomery County. I think I'll be in Montgomery County, but we'll be looking forward to that. I've been practicing with the compound bow. I've been practicing with the recurve bow. My buddy Dave, who shoots a recurve bow left-handed, has been castigating me for time to take the training wheels off my bow now. I like shooting them all. I like shooting them all. I like shooting recurve. I have a wing, and I have a root. For those of you who are into traditional archery, you understand what that is. My wing is 38 pounds at 28 inches. My root is 45 pounds at 28 inches. I have a compound bow. I own a Bowtech Assassin. I didn't choose a name. That's just a name on the bow that I liked. The crossbow is the 10-point Stealth with the AccuDraw that I used for years. I just got back into the compound bow last year because my shoulders have both felt pretty good for a couple of years. I had surgery on both shoulders in the last decade, so getting back in shape with that. And I like it all. So shot my first deer ever shot. I think the picture's on the Outdoorsman Radio Show website, ellisoutdoors.com. I think the picture's there with me with my first deer, which was a button buck when I was 16. And you know, look that up and see if it's on there. You don't want to? Okay, that's fine. Brian's always cooperative. I think that's on there. I was shooting a Browning Cobra at the time, a little short compound bow. Still own it, still have it, and shot it with a Port Orford Cedar Arrow and Hilbre, H-I-L-B-R-E points, broadheads in Somerset County, Pennsylvania, and just had a, yeah, you know. All right. 410 WCBM 680. 410-922-6680 is the phone number. You can email me too, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com if you'd like. We got notice yesterday that three of the Eastern Shore wildlife management areas will be closed to, temporarily closed to waterfowl hunting. And that's because, well, I'll read it to you. 3 Eastern Shore Wildlife Management Areas or portions of wildlife management areas in Somerset County. I mentioned Somerset County, Pennsylvania, talking about Somerset County, Maryland. Lower Eastern Shore have been temporarily closed to waterfowl hunting. The closed areas include crop fields managed for mourning doves, where a portion of the crop has been mowed or manipulated. State and federal laws allow dove hunting, but not waterfowl hunting, in areas where a crop has been manipulated. The areas have been posted with signs and will remain closed for the September waterfowl hunting and will reopen. That would be the Canada goose season and the early Canada goose season and the teal season, and will reopen for the October waterfowl seasons or sooner if possible. All other portions of the wildlife management areas will remain open for the September resident goose season and the September teal season unless previously restricted for management reasons. And a press release will be issued when these areas are reopened for waterfowl hunting. That includes Deal Island Wildlife Management Area, and it's a portion of it, and I'm not going to read it because it's, you know, detailed. And then there's a couple of other Maryland Marine properties in Somerset County and Wellington Wildlife Management Area in Somerset County. And I had somebody look at this and said it's just they're just closing the dove fields for goose and teal seasons. In September, one of the wildlife managers in Maryland had something on the on one of the websites that the geese got into the mowed sunflowers and millet, so it's legally considered bait for waterfowl now. The rest of the WMAs are still open, supposed to be posted around the closed areas, and the fields are still open for dove, so it shouldn't be too big of a deal. And, of course, the final and set waterfowl seasons also came out yesterday, and if we have a little time, we'll share that as well. All right. Maybe this will elicit a phone call or two. Let's see. On August 26th, 3 days ago, at approximately 8.09 a.m., and this is according to the Calvert Beacon, Calvert County, the Calvert County Control Center, Calvert Control Center, received a call from a citizen advising that there was a coyote running loose with a leash in the area of Neptune's Restaurant in North Beach. Sheriff's deputies and Animal Control Officer Tom Guy responded to the call. They were able to capture the coyote utilizing catch poles in the area of Frederick Avenue and 3rd Street, North Beach. The coyote was wearing a blue collar, indicating that it was someone's pet. So imagine the scenario. You're going to the Neptune Restaurant, have a little breakfast. You look up, see what you think might be a dog running down the street with a collar and a lead on it, and it doesn't look like a dog. You recognize it as a coyote, and you say, now what? So this coyote is running loose in North Beach. So you call the authorities. They come out and capture the coyote. The coyote was transported to the sheriff's office, where Animal Control Officer Guy met with members of the Natural Resources Police and the Department of Natural Resources Wildlife Division, Wildlife and Heritage Service, where they confirmed that the animal was indeed a coyote. A resident of North Beach responded to the sheriff's office claiming that he was the owner of the coyote. During the investigation conducted by the NRP officers, they were advised that the coyote was obtained as a puppy in the Virginia area. Now, I don't know if you looked at the map of Virginia compared to the map of Maryland, but the Virginia area is a pretty big area. Due to the possible exposure of rabies from the coyote, it was humanely euthanized and sent to the state lab in Baltimore for testing. Coyote tested negative for rabies. According to the Natural Resources Police officers, charges are pending for the owner. It is illegal to own or possess a coyote in the state of Maryland. End of story, isn't it? Well, you know how these newspapers... Brian, can you see this photo? Here. Look how benign that thing looks in that photo right there. Can you see it? How about that one? Two photos made their way online. And if you want to Google coyote in North Beach, you'll see the photos. This is a pretty nasty-looking critter that's still wearing the blue collar. And it made national news. It made the USA Today and that type of thing. But the question is, number one in my mind, why? Why would you take a wild coyote, knowing it was a coyote, and raise it as a dog? And why wouldn't you check the laws before you decided to bring that back to Maryland? You know, there's a number of wildlife laws in Maryland. Possessing wild animals is usually not a good thing. But the comments online were all in favor of the coyote, for the most part. Why would you do this? This animal was domesticated. Why would you do that? Why would you euthanize this animal? Look, folks, if I'm a resident of North Beach and I see a coyote, whether it's wearing a lead or not, roaming the streets, I'm going to be alarmed because the animal's been habituated to humans. And it's still, in its heart, a wild animal. It takes generations to domesticate a wild animal like this. And being habituated, you know, being around humans, being habituated to humans and, you know, that type of thing. I don't know if the thing listened to commands or not. But I would like to hear your opinion on whether you think that a wild coyote, even found as a puppy, could be raised in captivity and A, be trusted, B, not be a danger to other people and pets or livestock. You tell me. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680. I'd like to hear from you on that one. And was Wildlife and Heritage Service wrong in euthanizing this animal and sending it to be tested for rabies? Your call. Well, you call. We'll take another little break here. Merrick Backcountry, the ancestral diet dogs go wild for. With a mix of exotic proteins and chunks of real freeze-dried raw meat, our grain-free recipes made in the USA offer the best nutrition for the dog whose appetite was never domesticated. How apropos. What a great spot. Merrick Backcountry. They love the wild as much as you do. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, new location, 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Hey, I mentioned that bow season opened on September 11th. That's right. And Clyde Sport Shop has everything you need for bow hunting. They carry the Parker crossbows, the Parker compound bows, the Quest fully assembled ready-to-hunt G5 made by Diamond, by Bowtech, and the great Kotobo crossbows. Now, Kotobo is going to be on hand with a number of other exhibitors on September 19th. That's Kotobo Crossbow Demo Day. Yeah, the officials from Kotobo are going to be there, and you can actually try one of these great crossbows and see all the new Kotobo products, that's for sure. That's September 19th, Saturday. So make sure you stop by Clyde Sports Shop. Don't forget they have dove loads and decoys and everything you need for dove season as well. If you need a new firearm, you need a new shotgun, they've got those. And a full line of Thompson Center muzzle loaders, too. Get ready for the muzzle loader season. That's Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit Number 9. You can give them a call at 410 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108. Clyde Sports Shop. And don't forget, Saturday, September 19th, show up. There'll be a number of folks there, factory representatives, including Kotobo Crossbows. You can check that out yourself.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything. Their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Hi, Baltimore. This is Mark Levin, and now you can hear 3 hours of my show every weeknight at 7 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Good grief, that's my theme song.
Life I love is making music with my friends.
700 miles this week since Wednesday.
On the road again.
Oh, man.
Places that I've never been. Seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again.
Little Willie Nelson, man.
On the road again.
Like a band of gypsies, we go down the highway.
We're the best of friends.
On the road again. I'll be back down there today. Yep, Southern Maryland again, St. Mary's County. Wonder if I'll have another confrontation. They're always interesting. They're always troubling, especially when people lie about you, and especially when it comes from some stupid online posting. Yikes. 410-WCBM 680. Want to hear your comments about the coyote. Come on, folks. I know, Calvert County, so what? Well, I did get one email here that said, here's your sign, buddy. It's still a wild animal. You know, you're putting everybody in jeopardy, including all the little yappy dogs and the cats in the area. And, you know, first of all, if you don't have control of the animal, if it's out roaming loose, that right there should disqualify you from having the thing anyway. I mean, despite the fact that it's illegal. If you're not... If you are not careful enough to keep that thing under wraps and allow it to get loose somehow, doesn't say how it got loose. Doesn't say whether it pulled the lead out of the guy's hand. It had a lead, had a collar. So was the guy walking it, or what was happening there? And how did it get free? Did he try and tie it up, you know, hitch it up somewhere, and it pulled free? Don't know. Don't know the backstory. But maybe somebody does. All right, here we go. There's old Mike in Randallstown. He's calling us about something. And let's see what Mike has to say. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Okay, good morning, Al.
Good morning, man. What's going on?
About that coyote, you know, how about that dolphin that dragged that woman to her death in that display? I believe it was down in Florida.
Oh, you're talking about the killer whale. Killer whale.
Yeah, that's right. And how about the lions that have turned on their trainers?
Sure.
That were supposed to be tame and all that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I'm just making an analogy there that, you know, just because it was on a leash and just because it was so-called pet,
yeah,
you never know what its reaction is going to be.
Exactly. Good point. Yep, good point.
So that's all I had to say to you.
All right, Mike. Appreciate that. Thanks,
okay,
buddy. Appreciate you weighing in. Thanks.
Right.
Bye-bye. There you go. Let's see what Bob in Queenstown has to say. Mr. Bob, go right ahead, sir.
Yes, I just would agree that the animal probably should have been euthanized for the safety of the public.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I tend to agree that most wild animals should remain wild, and I don't think most of them can be domesticated. Also, I live over on the eastern shore.
Right.
And I was working, two summers ago, and we happened to look up. I do carpentry work. We happened to look up, and here comes a full-grown coyote walking down the middle of the street. And I also do some work over on the western shore. I was working just outside of Annapolis this week, as a matter of fact. I was walking out to my vehicle, and it was a wooded area, and there was a pup coyote who looked like he had a terrible case of the mange.
Yeah.
And I was surprised that they were so prevalent in our area, and I was wondering if you knew if they were reintroduced in this area, because I was born and raised on the shore, and I don't ever remember seeing coyotes.
The last coyote I saw was not far from you over there in Church Hill. I had one run across the road in front of me one evening, just about dark, when I was, and it wasn't a fox. I know it was a coyote. I got a very good look at it.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, I was coming home one evening from a hunt or going somewhere over there anyway, but this critter went right across, 213 between, up to Chestertown, is that what that is?
Yeah, 213.
Yeah, right there at Church Hill. And I wasn't necessarily surprised by it, but the coyotes in Maryland have an interesting history. The eastern coyote is making its way into Maryland from the north and from the west and from the south. But that being said, at one point in time, the fox chasers contracted with some fur trappers to bring coyotes into Maryland, very, very hush-hush, very quietly, to make the fox chasing a little more entertaining, never realizing what they unleashed on our wildlife populations here in Maryland, and probably not even caring.
That's disturbing.
It is disturbing. I mean, people say, oh, insurance companies brought them in here to get rid of the deer. Well, no, that didn't happen. Or DNR brought them in. Nope, that didn't happen. But some of them were introduced here. And I don't know if it was the 60s or 70s, but it was more than a generation ago. And, you know, just like these recreational anglers transporting, you know, blue catfish and flathead catfish and snakeheads around to make their fishing adventures more
exciting. The devastating consequences.
Exactly. Yep. So
I appreciate your show. It's very informative. Thanks
for the call, Bob. Appreciate it. See you. Have a good one. 410 WCBM 680. Well, you're going to have to hold that now till the next hour right after the news. We'll be back with more of the Outdoors and Radio Show. And love to hear about your fishing or hunting adventure, what you're going to do the first week of the hunting season. And if you have to leave us now, well, get out, stay out, stay safe.